This is Briar Cloth, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Greenbush, Minnesota. And we're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan. We'll hear reports from Sierra Doctor and Whitney Pittman as well. While field conditions continue to be muddy in south-central North Dakota, Mike Brandenburg is waiting for things to dry up around Edgeley.
Pretty wet out there. In this area, wet anywhere from an inch and a half to a half an inch. So some areas up north by 46 jet area were able to go, but right around Edgeley here, it's pretty wet. And so you got to pick your fields. You got to go around and find out where you can go, and it's pretty slow. But we're picking away at it, doing a little bit here, doing a little bit there. I'm actually getting a load of fertilizer this morning. We're at the fertilizer plant. We're able to do a little bit of that, and so we're trying to seed some corn and some wheat and some beans, and everything is kind of slow.
Same conditions a little further north at Windsor, North Dakota. Terry Wanzik waiting for the ground to dry out after last week's heavy rains.
Obviously, their conditions aren't exactly perfect. There's been a lot of rain, and, of course, we had a lot of snow this winter that had to melt. So we're trying to be patient and hopeful that the day will come where we can, you know, cover most of the ground. Right now, it's pretty wet in spots. Today we do have some of our help are out culturing and cultivating, trying to dry the ground out to prepare it for seeding. We want to put some more corn in. We did get a few acres in here before this last week's rain. We've had in our area about 6 inches of rain within a week's time. So it takes a while for that much rain to dry things out.
And Bayer customer business advisor Justin Cook says that Carrington, North Dakota area also is pretty wet.
We are advising people not to be switching corn maturities, and the corn is still going in, and maturities haven't switched yet. And the soybeans, I think everything's still on target for what we were planning. The fertilizer just started again yesterday, so the spreaders are going, and they're able to start working it in again ahead of the corn planters. I would say by May 20th, guys are going to start backing down maturities from 89 down to 86, possibly.
Well, fungicide treatments can improve stands of wheat. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor has that story.
NDSU Extension plant pathologist Andrew Friskop says it's important to use a fungicide seed treatment to manage root rot in wheat.
With a fungicide seed treatment use, as far as what to use, there are a variety of products on the market. They all tend to be very good. They tend to be most effective on seed-borne diseases and just provide some suppression of early season root rots. For example, if you're into cool, wet soil, which we always seem to have to start out the spring, having a frac group of a 4 or 22 is probably suggested, so it can have some efficacy on Pythium-related issues. And then for your Fusarium and Bipolaris or common root rot issues, anything frac 3, 7, 11.
Friskop says according to some research data, farmers could see up to an 8% stand improvement by adding a fungicide seed treatment. The wheat crop in general is looking good so far this year.
I've been looking at data over the last 20 years just to see what can you get from a response from a fungicide seed treatment. And we're always around about an 8%. Percent improvement of stand when we use the fungicide seed treatment. So it certainly helps, but it's kind of tough to relate that 8% stand improvement to what you get for yields. That's some of the things that we're trying to figure out right now. Based off the reports from some of the growers I talked to, some of the winter wheat looks pretty good. It came out of the winter months and survived some of that winter kill. And most of the spring wheat, some of the folks I've talked to, they're just starting rolling, and others may have seen emergence. So we're pretty early in the crop, but I think this week we're going to see a lot more planting in some of the areas that were able to dodge the rain.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
The standoff over the debt ceiling continues. President Joe Biden, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, and other congressional leaders met yesterday, but they do remain far apart. Biden leaves for the G7 summit in Japan today, but is said to be cutting his Asian trip short to return to the negotiations. South Dakota Senator John Thune, who is the third-ranking Republican in the Senate, said a framework agreement must be ready by the end of the week. without a deal this week. Thune said there won't be enough time to get a debt limit passed in both chambers before that June 1st deadline. This is the Red River Farm Network. Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. During the Red River Farm Network's Pioneer Agronomy Update yesterday afternoon, we caught up with Pioneer Field agronomist Christy Sundin at her plot near Brockett, North Dakota.
So this plot actually ranges from a 60-day maturity all the way up to an 85-day maturity. We got it in the ground the middle of last week, and if you take a look, they're already starting to germinate, actually coming out of ground much faster than I thought. So hopefully we can get out here and get the burn down put down before this stuff starts coming out of the ground. Our ground temperature has warmed up pretty quickly across most of my territory. I cover northwest Minnesota and northeast North Dakota, going all the way to Rolla on the North Dakota side, and our ground temperatures have really warmed up over the last, I would say, 5 to 6 days.
And Sundin says the Minnesota side of her territory has had better field conditions.
Minnesota is actually ahead of us. I would say that they have been going strong for at least a full week. They actually had some corn going in the ground like the 8th and 10th of May, and so we've got corn actually coming up out of the ground over in that direction. As we go west, much slower to get started. We actually, for the most part, I would say over the weekend, Monday, things have really started to roll around these areas. And then things slowed down a little bit in that New Rockford to Fezzenden area because of heavy rains. But they're actually starting to get back in the field, too.
And you can see the entire Pioneer Agronomy Update with Christy Sundin on the Red River Farm Network's YouTube channel. Higher supply, lower demand seem to be the outlook for corn in the soybean markets. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman has that story.
Projections are showing higher supply of corn and soybean for the next marketing year. MinStar Bank Senior Vice President Kent TC says demand may not be keeping up.
Supplies of corn and soybeans have been rising as we approach the end of the current marketing year and are anticipated to rise even more in the 23-24 marketing year. And that's kind of a combination of expected increases in crop acreage, which USDA has reported, and projecting trend line yields for corn and soybeans. And then also, the demand side of the coin, not quite keeping up with the anticipated increase in supplies.
Spring planting progress throughout the Corn Belt doesn't seem to be helping prices. Outside of a major weather event, TC says that we may not see the normal price rally we usually do in late spring or early summer.
When we're building supplies, like we talked about in the WASDE report, it does take something else. Either we need some demand or we need some issues with the current crop production. Now, I'm not sure that the heavy rains we're seeing in southern Minnesota are going to be enough. Much of the Corn Belt has been ahead of normal. I think even the northern parts of the Corn Belt, North Dakota, South Dakota, the northern half of Minnesota, are really catching up on planting. So now, of course, the big wild card is always if drought would start to develop. There's no guarantees we're going to see as big a price rally this year that we've seen in some of the previous years when we had tighter grain stocks.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network.
The Senate Agriculture Committee scheduled to vote on the nomination of Socio Torres Small today. She's been nominated to be the USDA Deputy Secretary, replacing Jewel Bernard, who resigned. Torres Small is the current USDA Undersecretary for Rural Development and is a former House member representing New Mexico. Basis bids at the six regional grain elevators, followed by the Red River Farm Network, held mostly steady from our last check a couple of weeks ago. Spring wheat basis ranges anywhere from 35 to 70 under the July Minneapolis futures. Corn basis ranging from 5 cents under to 20 cents over the July corn futures. And soybean basis ranging from a dollar under to even or par with the July soybean futures contract. Brazil reporting its first case of highly pathogenic avian influenza. The disease was found in wild birds and does not impact exports. Brazil's poultry exports grew some 27% last year amid outbreaks in the U.S. France also increasing its measures to control the spread of highly pathogenic avian influenza after a recent outbreak on several duck farms. Flocks in the immediate vicinity had been affected and will be culled to reduce the risk of spread. For more information from the Red River Farm Network, visit Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. You can also find stories, podcasts, and more at rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network. Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Well, the Black Sea Grain Initiative, in its final 24 hours, negotiations are continuing to maintain that corridor through the Black Sea, but the current agreement expires tomorrow. Russia has repeatedly said it will not renew the grain deal unless concessions are made to expand its grain and fertilizer exports. The world's corn growers may end up with a huge amount of corn for the upcoming marketing year. USDA Outlook Board Chair Mark Jekinowski says the crop could be at 15.3 billion bushels.
The stocks-to-use ratio is one good measure of kind of knowing what those stocks are relative to the total supply. So stocks-to-use ratio from the current season, 2022, is forecast at 10.3%. Next year, by the end of the year, we're expecting that to reach 15.3%. So a pretty large increase in stocks in an absolute sense and in a relative sense relative to total supplies.
And Jekinowski is projecting next year's price to be 27% below this year's average for corn.
That would be a record that's up about 1.5 billion bushels from last year. So basically all of the use categories will be ratcheting higher along with that higher production. And ending stocks, of course, are going to be up as well. We expect record corn production globally. We're currently forecasting the season average market price for the new crop year at $4.80 per bushel.
Bunge and Nutrien Ag Solutions have formed an alliance to help farmers adopt sustainable farming practices. Nutrien will provide crop consulting services, custom fertilizer application, data collection. Bunge will contract with the farmers and manage the harvest and post-harvest commercialization. The program will begin with the soybeans grown near Bunge crush plants in Iowa and Illinois. That will eventually expand to other crops and other parts of the country. Checking markets before we leave you this morning, we're seeing Minneapolis wheat on the plus side by a penny. Right now, July's up 1.25, September up 0.25. Chicago July wheat is down 7.5, and Kansas City July wheat trading 3.75 cents higher. July corn is down 10 cents at 5.70 and a half. December down 5 at $5.25. July soybeans are down 9.25 at 13.54 and 3 quarters, and November soybeans down 8 cents at 11.98 and 3 quarters. In Winnipeg, the July canola trading 80 cents a metric ton higher. That's at 7.30 even Canadian money. On the farm calendar, the North Dakota Department of Agriculture's Products Utilization Commission, APUC, will be meeting at 9 o'clock tomorrow. That'll be in Dickinson. Also on the farm calendar, we've got the NDSU Animal Science hosting a Beef Field Day. That comes up on May the 24th. It'll be at the NDSU Beef Cattle Research Complex in Fargo. This is the Red River Farm Network.